Hello, dear friends. This is Tim Barnett filling in for our fearless leader, my boss, my mentor, and my friend, Greg Kokel. As many of you know, Greg is on vacation right now. He's probably reeling in a smallmouth bass as we speak. But as they say, the show must go on. You're listening to the Stand to Reason podcast here. This is one of my favorite podcasts to actually listen to. And that's because it gives a dose of clear thinking Christianity week after week. And this week will be no exception, friends. And that is not because I'm here. That is because of my guest. Today, we're not going to have any phone calls. We're going to spend an hour introducing you to one of my favorite new ministries. Okay, this is a ministry that you need to know about, okay? At Stand to Reason, we try to introduce you guys to our friends like J. Warner Wallace, you know, Cold Case Christianity, or Frank Turek at crossexamine.org, or Summit Ministries. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. But this ministry that I only recently, you know, in the last few months discovered has actually been a game changer for me, okay? In fact, the resources that my guest provides, and I'm being dead serious about this, is a source of professional and spiritual development or growth for me, okay? My guest is Cameron Bertuzzi. He is the founder of Capturing Christianity. Cameron, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. It's great to be here. That's like the most flattering introduction I've ever received.
You know what you can do? We'll just cut that out and you can use it wherever you want. Okay.
Perfect.
That sound good? I'm so excited to talk to you. And I wasn't just, you know, speaking, you know, to boost your ego or something. I genuinely mean every word that I said. This is a resource that I'm so excited to tell our Stand to Reason audience about. We've actually never met in person. We've only ever, you know, talked through, and we were just talking about this earlier, you know, we kind of skipped those introductions because we've messaged back and forth on Facebook and maybe some other platforms. And so this is kind of the first time that we're getting to talk. But Cameron, I feel like I know you. Okay.
I feel like I know you too. It's weird.
It is weird. It might even be a little creepy. But it's because I actually watch you every week. Now that actually does sound creepy. Okay. Now let me clarify what I mean by that. Okay. For our audience, Cameron has a YouTube channel, and it's actually one of my favorite YouTube channels right now. We're going to talk a whole lot about it. But I make it as part of my, weekly routine to watch at least one of your videos. Okay. And so I feel like I know you in that sense. Now, before we get ahead of ourselves here, I want people to get to know who you are. Okay. I think you actually have a really interesting story, and I've only heard bits and pieces of it. And so, here's the thing. You're a professional photographer. And as far as I know, you don't have like a master's degree or PhD in like philosophy or theology or apologetics.
Not close.
But when I listen to you, you sound like really smart. Okay. Just so you know, I'm like, whoa, this guy is using terms that I need to go look up. Okay. And now you're like this full-time YouTube apologist. So here's my question. How did that happen? You know, how did you end up going from full-time photographer to full-time Christian apologist YouTuber? Explain that to me.
Okay, so I think it's a combination of two things. First of all, grace of God, and second of all, just a lot of hard work. Mm-hmm. So, the reason why I'm even interested in apologetics in the first place is because around 7-8 years ago, at this point, my brother became an atheist. He came out to my family and me as an atheist. And so I had a conversation with him about it. Initially, that conversation did not go well. I came away from that thinking, I need to like really figure out what I believe and why I believe it. And I actually wanted to discover, is there any evidence for Christianity? Are there any good reasons to be a Christian? And so I started my journey into apologetics about 8 years ago. And from that point, I discovered a whole lot of resources and arguments and evidence for Christianity that I did not expect to find. And basically what I do now, and my passion these days, is to expose that to people, to be like, look, if you don't think there's good evidence, good arguments for the truth of Christianity, you are mistaken. There's a whole lot out there, and you need to know about it. And there's a whole lot of really intelligent Christians that are publishing articles and journals and writing books. And there's, I mean, nowadays, there's so many, it's like, it's getting difficult to schedule all of them, to schedule all of the interviews that I'm doing with these various Christian philosophers and these really, 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 really smart people. Yeah. There's so many of them. So that's a good problem. But anyways, so that's my passion, is to expose the intellectual side of Christian belief. How I fell into it, I was a very active participant on the Reasonable Faith forums for many years. And if you don't know what Reasonable Faith is, you, most of your audience should probably know who they are. Yeah. Reasonable Faith, William Lane Craig's ministry. They have a forum. And at the time when I was getting into apologetics, I was looking for a place where I could do apologetics and talk to intelligent atheists about some of the arguments that I found and kind of go back and forth and figure out if these worked. And so the forums, the Reasonable Faith forums, were like the best place that I could find for that. The atheists there were very intelligent, very cordial for the most part. You had your outliers, which you have in any forum that you go to. But for the most part, these were like some of the most intelligent, most well-read, most philosophically adept atheists that I had encountered. And so I spent a lot of time there, many years. My wife will attest to this. Many years laying up late at night, yeah, reading responses to things that I would post. And so I spent many years on that. And eventually I decided, look, instead of doing all of these posts on this forum, I should probably like start doing my own thing. And if I'm going to get serious about this and get serious about doing apologetics, I need to practice writing. So I started a what was initially just a blog, capturingchristianity.com. And I decided to kind of embrace my identity as a photographer and not shy away from it, because I was kind of worried that people would hear the fact that I, or like, yeah, you hear my story and you're like, oh, he's a photographer. Like, what does this guy really know about philosophy or apologetics or like, you know, history or anything like that? And so I had a temptation to like not embrace that, but I decided, you know what, I'm just going to do it. And no one else, I don't think there are no other, as far as I know, apologist photographers. So it was a unique point of view that I could take. And so it made sense from that perspective too. So I started this blog initially to practice writing. And eventually I started a YouTube channel. And about 2 years ago, we were just talking about this guy, Mike Winger. He invited me to do a collaboration with him and another YouTuber, What Do You Meme? And his real name is John McCray. He's awesome. He and I are good friends too. And they invited me to do they invited me to do a collaboration where we would respond to an atheist video. It was by a guy named Hemant Mehta. That's his name, and he goes by the name The Friendly Atheist. Yeah. is his name like online stuff. And so we each basically, so his video was 20 arguments against God's existence. And they were very short. It was like the whole video was only like 2 minutes long. It was ridiculous how short these quote unquote arguments were. And so we decided, why don't we do like each of us take one argument at a time and do a response to each one and release one video, like one response for 20 days. And so that's what we did. And after I did that collaboration with them, which I did not try to set up, it was actually them. And it was just very, very nice of them to help me out with this. And so we did this series and it kind of took off. And from that point, the YouTube channel has grown steadily since then. And we're growing even faster. I mean, the last couple months, we've doubled how quickly the channel is gaining new subscribers. So that's the short/long story of how that came to be and how a photographer came to be an apologist.
Well, I got a couple follow-up questions from that. This just occurred to me as you were talking. So your brother 8 years ago kind of drops this bomb. Your family, the Christian family?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Grew up Christian, everybody.
Yeah. And what was the background? Like very intellectual or, you know, feelings, emotion.
Very charismatic, very feelings, emotion.
Okay. Yeah.
The church that we attended, I went back there recently, actually, and I was listening to the message, because before you hear messages, or at least before I was introduced to philosophy and apologetics and really rigorous thinking, and I wasn't able to analyze things at the sort of depth and level of clarity that I am now, just because I know how logic works and syllogisms and all that stuff. So I'm able to think about things a little bit more systematically. Yeah. And so I went back to this church, and I noticed that there was a lot of things that were being added, or just sort of personal interpretations of passages. And so it wasn't, the churches that I grew up in were not very intellectually minded. It was more about an experience and like going and, you know, worshiping for hours on end and these super long prayer services and healing services.
Yeah.
And that was the main focus. And I think that was actually part of the reason why my brother fell away.
Yeah. Would he consider himself an atheist at this point?
I think he would. I think he would consider himself an atheist, although I think he has softened up a little as of late. And I could be wrong about that, but one of the more recent conversations we had, he's been listening to a lot of podcasts as well, and he even listens to some of the stuff that I produce. Cool. And I feel like he's softening up a little bit. So that's really cool to see. But we don't have a whole lot of conversations about religion and stuff. Most of the time we're just hanging out, being brothers and playing video games, stuff like that.
And that's what I was going to, you know, ask you about, because a lot of people think, hey, you're an apologist, you know, you're on the screen apologist, you know, public. And so you, all your relatives, they must all have converted already, right? You know, this kind of thing. And what I tell people, you know, some of the hardest conversations that I have are with, and awkward sometimes, are with my family who are unbelievers. Mm-hmm. Because you're trying to toe this line, right? I have to see these people all the time. You know, I have to, you know, family functions, Christmas, these, you know, all these things. And so I don't bring up religion every single time. You know, I don't want to be that. I want to have a relationship
with the person.
So, you know, would you give any advice, or maybe that is the advice?
That is the advice.
Someone? Yeah.
Yeah. If you have an unbelieving family member or cousin or someone that's close to you, that's something I had to learn very quickly. Once I started to really learn apologetics and like how the arguments worked, and I was like, okay, this is a good argument.
Yeah.
Okay. The Kalam cosmological argument, when I first learned about that one, I was like, yeah, this is a pretty strong argument. And then I was like, nah, I'm not really convinced by it. And then I was like, okay, yeah, this is good. There's no getting around it. And when you get to that point, when you get really confident with an argument, my initial inclination was to just like use that as almost like a weapon. Like,
yeah,
you're going to believe after I just like smash you over the head with this argument.
Yeah.
And I learned very quickly that is the wrong way to go about it.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that. You want to first and foremost love the person. And if you're using apologetics as a means of getting something from that person, you're not operating in love, I don't think.
Yeah.
And so that's something I had to learn. And so once I like got rid of that desire to just like every time I talk to him, got to talk to him about apologetics. After I got rid of that desire, our relationship got a whole lot better. We had great conversations, and then he was even opening up to me, and he'll at this point start to raise questions and want to talk about certain things. So that's my focus right now, is just to love, and you know, things will happen organically.
That's good. That's good. I have a brother-in-law who would consider himself, he used to consider himself an atheist. I think he's more open actually as of late. My mentality used to be, and again, this is just immaturity, I think. I'm going to corner you. You know,
yeah.
You will have nowhere to run. And then, you know, I started to mature as a believer, I think. And I heard this from Francis Schaeffer. He said, "Always give the person you're talking to a corner of the room to retreat to." Okay, I thought, this is so brilliant. Like when you're, so if those questions come up, and I don't typically bring them up anymore, you know, it's normally, I just wait for them, like you said, organically. He mentioned something, he asked me, you know, about God and coronavirus, you know, where's your God, you know, this kind of thing. And then we can talk about it, but I'm always going to leave open, you know, the opportunity that if he gets stumped on something, you know, don't worry about it. You know, we can talk more later. We don't have to keep, it's not like I got to pin you to the mat in every conversation. And I think a lot of apologists, man, we just are out for blood. And that's not the way it should be, you know?
Yeah.
Gentleness and respect. There's a reason Peter, you know, after giving this, you know, charge to always be prepared to give an answer and then adds, it's almost like he knew, you know, you guys might be jerks about this. So do this with gentleness and respect, you know?
Yeah.
So that's a good word, man. Now look at you. So you go from a photographer. And so you have this creative skill. And you can tell that is being applied to your channel. Man, it's just, I have YouTube. I put it up on my big screen over here. And, you know, there is just a noticeable difference between what you're producing and what else is out there. Okay. I've talked to Mike Winger. I've talked to some of these other guys, and we agree that capturing Christianity is kind of a gold standard as far as appearance, as far as, you know, even down, and this is from a guy who, you know, I have a science background, but I love creating keynotes, like keynote presentations, and spending time on fonts. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not just using the fonts that they give me. I'm downloading, and there's like, so I can truly appreciate your color schemes and your lighting and your video and all that stuff. I mean, I wish I knew how to do that. But here you are, and this is just how awesome God is. He takes a guy out of this one world, brings them into this other intellectual, rational world, and the two are just like, when they come together, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I never would have guessed that. That was like, going back to when I was forming the ministry originally, I was like, do I even want to do this? Do I even want to embrace the fact that I'm a photographer? And now it just like makes so much sense to me. It's like I also have a bachelor degree in audio production randomly.
Yeah.
And it's like I can use all of the tools that I've sort of gained throughout my earlier careers. And now I can apply them in the career that I'm in now. And it's like, it's just amazing to see how good God is.
Yeah. And this is, I mean, just as a word to our audience, you know, maybe you're in a field that you think, man, how does this relate at all to ministry or to, you know, sharing the gospel or whatever? And you know what, just be creative, because there might be a way, like what you've done is combined beauty and in the intellect and the mind. So you got, you know, the creativity with the content, you know, the content. I'm an apologist. I get it. It's the most important thing. And some people are probably out there thinking, yeah, that's all we need is just the content. Well, look it. There is a visual generation out there. Gen Z is like the digital natives. They are a visual generation, and having something like Capturing Christianity available is just, I think is perfect. I mean, this is perfect timing. And it's no surprise to me that your channel is doing so well right now.
One of the things that I love to do as an apologist, and so there's a lot of people, other apologists that I'm acquainted with and I'm friends with at this point. And so I love to help people with their questions. And I mean, you and I were talking about it a little bit earlier too, that's one of my passions too, I want to help other people come, you know, step up their game, so to speak, and the way that things look and the way that things sound. Yeah. Because I look at that as like, I didn't plan all this out. I feel like these are gifts that God has given me, and I want to share it with people. I don't want to like hoard all that in. It makes no sense. I want to like bring everybody up, the standard quality of the media and stuff that we produce. I want everybody to get better, because that's just going to help the end game. This isn't a competition between us. I want everybody to get better. And it would be really cool if like apologists were leading the lines on like how nice things look on YouTube. I think that'd be really cool. Cause I mean, if you look on YouTube, if you're a YouTuber and if you are like on YouTube all the time, and that's how you mainly consume content or like whatever it is you watch, when you watch these videos, some of these people who have like millions of subscribers, and you can even look at like someone like Joe Rogan, he's got a really, really popular podcast. I even did a video response to him. But if you look at his video quality, it's just like, it's not very good. and his like setup is kind of wacky, and his lighting is terrible, and like his microphones sound decent, and it's mainly for a podcast, so I get it, but it's just like really junky. And it's for YouTube, people don't really matter, but I think that it's important to step it up a little bit, make it look a little bit nicer, so it's not as distracting. Some people can get distracted by that stuff.
Yeah. So you just mentioned trying to help other YouTubers, and you guys did something a few months ago called the Apologetics Empire. Mm-hmm. I mean, so this is not just talk. This is, you guys actually had a meeting where a bunch of YouTubers got together. As I understand it, I wasn't technically invited, but
but I think this was before you got serious.
I didn't even have a YouTube at the time, but there it's just go. Nice to be invited, Cameron, sometimes.
I'm just playing.
I thought it was awesome. I really did.
It was really cool.
You had all these guys coming together and just helping each other. And so what is the landscape like on YouTube? Because I, a few years ago, would have just assumed, atheists have taken over YouTube. There's the Atheist Experience. There's, all these different guys out there doing their thing. And then when you go into the comments of like pretty much any video, it just seems like they take over. In fact, Stand to Reason at one point had, on the Stand to Reason YouTube channel, had actually stopped comments altogether because it was just so brutal. We couldn't, police that stuff. But it seems like the tide has changed. And I'm seeing tons of young YouTubers. What's your experience on that?
Yeah, I would say over the last couple of years, basically since I came on the scene, and I really started getting serious about YouTube about 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so since that point, I've seen a whole lot more people get into it. There are some old OG apologists, Christian apologists that have been on there, like Michael Jones from Byron Philosophy.
Yeah.
He's been making videos for like seven or 8 years. So basically right when I got my start in apologetics, he was like already doing videos.
Yeah.
So there are some people like that. Mike Winger has also been doing videos a while, but he wasn't doing a whole lot of apologetics content necessarily. Now he's doing a lot more of that. But there were only a couple. And like, I think David Wood even started not too long ago. I don't know the actual figure on that, but the point is that there was only a couple. There was only a handful. But on the other hand, the atheists, there are just so many atheists on YouTube. It's incredible. It blows my mind. There's a guy that I interact with a lot, and I've actually become friends with him, Alex O'Connor. His name is his YouTube name is Cosmic Skeptic. And he's a great guy. I love him. He's been on my show a bunch, and he has 345,000 subscribers on YouTube as an atheist. And there's other atheists that have, I think, over 1 million subscribers. Matt Dillahunty has 100-something thousand. Another guy, Rationality Rules, who I'm currently in a debate with on YouTube, he has 240,000 subscribers. So a lot of these guys, atheism is very, very prominent on YouTube. There's another guy, Genetically Modified Skeptic. He's got around the same amount as Rationality Rules. He's got about 250,000 subscribers. And these guys, like, they have support. They have people that support them on Patreon, so they can do this full time. And it's just like, it's crazy. They're getting really organized. They even have like a conference where it's like an atheist YouTubers conference. And they do it every year. They weren't able to do it this year because of COVID and stuff. But when we're talking about landscape, it was, and I think it still is at this point, a very atheistic dominated space. But since Christians have started to get into apologetics, and there's a few that have popped up and are starting to gain some notoriety, I think the tide is just beginning to change. There's a whole lot more content out there. Yeah. And I don't want to brag too much, but I think that the content that we produce, because it's not just about me, it's not just like myself producing videos. I do a whole lot of interviews. I host discussions. So my show, my channel is more of a platform for other people to share their work. And so that is a great way to get a whole lot more content out there that is not just like related to what I care about or what I'm super interested in. And so it's just, yeah, I think the tide is just beginning to turn.
So before we get to the, you know, the context, I want to talk about what you guys are producing and why I love it so much. There's a couple things you said there, and I want our listeners to pay attention here, because, and parents especially, your kids are going to YouTube, okay? I think I'm right on the border of millennial and Gen X, 37. How old are you, Cameron?
I'm 33.
Okay. Yeah. Just a young guy. And that actually gets me excited too. I love so much. We're seeing a lot more young guys entering this apologist world. But this matters to you parents, because your kids are YouTubing things. When they want to know how something works, when they want to know why, the big why questions, they're going and typing them in YouTube. And you could see why, when you have these different atheist YouTubers, and they're tackling these questions from their worldview. And so we need to have a response on there. We need the content on there to be able to respond to these things. So it absolutely matters what Cameron and others are doing on there. I also thought of this parallel. You mentioned the OGs of, and for some of you, that original gangsters, okay? The OGs of
YouTube apologetics.
Yeah. And so you got guys like Mike Winger and Michael Jones and David Wood. You know, these guys have been around a while. That reminds me of, like, you know, the Josh McDowells and the Norm Geislers and the guys who were just like plowing the hard soil mm-hmm. at the beginning. You know, we live in a world now where, man, I got apologetics books everywhere. Everyone's writing one. Multiple books are coming out every year. It didn't used to be like that, though. It was like you had evidence that demands a verdict, you know, and you had some of these other things. And it was because of their work that inspired people like Ravi Zacharias and William Lane Craig and all these other philosophers. And then you got William Lane Craig just inspiring thousands, I think, of young philosophers and these other guys, inspiring all these young philosophers and apologists. And so we have seen just, and you talk about a renaissance of philosophy and apologetics in the university, I think, in the Christian community as well. And I think we might be seeing that, like, which is kind of exciting, happening on YouTube. Couple guys, and then they influence others, and then who knows where we'll be a decade from now. To me, this is exciting stuff.
Yeah. One of the reasons why I turned my focus to YouTube was because that was the first place that I went to when I was starting to search for evidence for Christianity. The first place I went. And at the time I was in my mid-20s. And so what I searched for, I think my first search on YouTube was historical evidence for the resurrection. And the first thing that popped up, fortunately, was a lecture by William Lane Craig. And so if I hadn't have found out about his work, yeah, I have no idea where I would be at this point.
Yeah. And that your story, I mean, there are so many parallels with my own story. When I was in university being challenged, growing up in a pretty kind of emotional church, as you described, you know, not really spending mm-hmm. a lot of time on the mind. Here's the experience. Here's our community. We have a good time together, youth group. We have fun. I didn't
pizza parties.
Yeah, pizza parties, volleyball, gym, you know, Laser Quest, you know, all that stuff. That's what we did. And you maybe get out the daily bread. Do they still make the daily bread? Do you know what I'm talking about? A little
I
devotional.
Don't know.
Okay, it's just like a little one-page devotional that has like a verse kind of ripped out of context. No, I shouldn't say that. There's a verse, and then there's a story that has to do with the verse, and then a prayer at the end or something. And it's one little tiny page. You read it. Okay, let's get back to playing volleyball or basketball. You know, that kind of thing. I went to university, was unfamiliar with all the challenges out there, and I went to YouTube as well. I went to, you know, and fortunately for me as well, I was able to come across guys like, you know, William Lane Craig and Greg Kokel and Ravi, and the list goes on. And so what motivates me, and it sounds like what motivates you, is that we don't want people to have the same experience we did. You know, and this is why I spend a lot of time in my own ministry speaking to high school kids. We do the formerly Rethink, now called Reality Conference. We want young people to know who these people are, like William Lane Craig.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have been 22 years old and just discovering William Lane Craig. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's right. It makes me angry that that happened. Okay. And I don't want that to happen to my kids and to the church. So, I mean, you're on the same page, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that it's been a real, really sad thing that we've seen in the church. And it hasn't always been like this, from what I understand. I read a book a little while ago by J.P. Moreland. I can't remember the name of it, but he was talking about how, like, anti-intellectualism is a very recent phenomenon. It only happened like within 100 years ago. The church really didn't start, didn't really care about the intellect and fostering a good, you know, loving God with all of your mind, basically. The church stopped caring about that, and it was only fairly recently. So I think that we need to sort of get back to our roots, so to speak, and avoid some of these cultural things that have happened to the church that have kind of brought us down a peg. I think that we need to.
I think you're right on that. That's been my reading too. Now let's switch gears and talk about your channel.
Okay.
Okay. First of all, your focus, it seems to me, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is for a very particular group of people.
Oh, okay? It is.
And so tell us about that. Who's Capturing Christianity geared toward?
It's geared toward Tim Barnett.
Perfect. No,
it is actually, because you are you're like watching his videos, you're trying to get more out of him. So who is Tim Barnett? Like, what is your profile? Tim Barnett is someone who cares about apologetics.
Yeah.
Right? He cares about apologetics.
Bingo.
But he's not just like a beginner. He wants to like get deeper. He wants to develop his knowledge about how do you respond to some of these really good objections to these arguments? And this is like the person that Capturing Christianity is going to really, really appeal to, is someone like Tim Barnett. So if you're just like a beginner and you're just getting started into apologetics, stand to reason, if you're here in this ministry already, you're at the perfect place. But if you want to go deeper, that's who we target. Some of the conversations we have, like, I can't even follow them. And those are rare. But there was a recent discussion between William Lane Craig and Graham Oppie. Graham Oppie is like the most intelligent atheist alive. He's a brilliant philosopher out of Australia. And he, like, the conversation they had was just like so over my head. It was insane. And we're actually planning to do a follow-up video where we explain it at a 5-year-old level. I've got a physics teacher coming on to help explain that video for us. So that's who I target, are people who have an interest in apologetics but kind of want to go deeper.
When you said, what's your profile, Tim? I thought you were going to say, you're going to start with like ruggedly handsome. That was where I thought you were going to go. Now there's a kind of a little bit of an inside joke. If you don't know Cameron Bertuzzi, and you look him up, you're going to notice he has just some incredible hair. You know, people talk about his hair. You know that Sean McDowell, there's actually a Twitter account that has more followers than I do that is just called his faux hawk. Okay. That's all it is. And so I'm wondering if someone's going to make a Twitter account that is just your hair. Okay. And you know, people who know who I am know that I don't have that hair. Okay. And wish I did. So, anyways, we're going to keep moving here. I think you're exactly right. There is you have hit on something, I think, so important, because we offer, you know, a lot of ministries are offering introductory apologetics.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, what is truth? You know, in ice cream versus insulin, that's what we talk about. And that's what, you know,
relativism.
You start with these things, right? And you might hear an argument for God. I mean, we present arguments for God. But what's going on at Capturing Christianity is you're interviewing guys and spending an hour, sometimes 2 hours, diving deep into what the argument entails. What are the objections? What are the, you know, how do you respond? The counter arguments, this kind of thing. And this is where, look at, I was going to say church. Listen, listeners, We need to, if you want to grow your mind, you need to start stretching it, you know? I try to work out, you know? It doesn't look like it. I'm just a tall, skinny guy. But I know that I need to get down. And if I want to grow the muscles and stretch the muscles, I got to get and spend some time doing that. And of course, we all understand that. That makes sense. You got to put the time in, the work in, to get the muscle growth you want. Well, a lot of Christians are just, you know, intellectually lazy. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. William Lane Craig says we're idling in intellectual neutral, okay? And to get out of that, I think what's great about Capturing Christianity is, man, you're going to get stretched. There are times when I'm watching these videos and I'm thinking, okay, I got to rewind. What did he just say? You know, that's not, I mean, I don't want to scare people away because that's not always the case. There's plenty of videos that I've consumed and understood, right? Because the people you're bringing on, many of them are pretty good communicators. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And are able to communicate. Once we start talking about your favorite videos, I'm going to tell you some of my favorites.
Oh.
And why I think they're my favorites. And because there are some really great communicators, guys that I want to introduce our audience to, you know? And so I have bought books. You know what? When a book shows up at my door now, my wife will ask, which video were you watching? Because what ends up happening is someone mentions a book and it's like, I got to go buy that now. Okay. And check it out for myself. So that's one of the liabilities, I think, is if you're going to start watching these, you're going to end up filling your Amazon cart. Okay. So it's geared at an intermediate level. It's not really introductory stuff. So if you're listening right now and you're thinking, wow, I've been listening to Stand to Reason for 10 years or 5 years or whatever, and I just want to go deeper into that argument Greg talked about. I want to go deeper into that argument Tim mentioned. This is your next stop, okay? Your next stop would be to go to the podcast that Capturing Christianity has and their YouTube channel and their articles. I mean, there's a whole website. We're, you know, talking a lot about the YouTube channel right now, but there's other stuff there, which we'll mention at the end here. Okay, so we said target audience. Okay, in your opinion, what are the top three videos? Like if someone, they've never heard of you before, what should they go to first?
Okay, I'm going to give some really weird answers to these. So and I'm giving some weird ones. They're not weird, but I think it's so difficult to choose. I was looking through the video archive earlier, which by the way, we have 238 videos already.
Wow.
Which is insane.
Yeah, okay, stop right there for a second because I remember you mentioned the Friendly Atheist, mm-hmm. and I remember when I first saw you and I thought, "Oh, this is really good." And but you weren't producing, like you are cranking out. I just went to your thing here and we'll talk about what's exciting coming up. But I have reminders here for, you know, something like, I don't know, 8 videos or something. And they all are videos that I want to watch. So, where'd you go?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, sorry. I clicked away on the window because I got distracted looking at all your videos. There you are. Okay. So, sorry, folks. Tell us what top videos. They're going to be weird, but tell us.
No, only one of them is going to be weird. So the first one that I would say, it's one of my favorite videos. We did a 3-hour-plus podcast with 2 different scholars out of the UK. I can't remember. I think they might be out of Oxford at this point. Callum Miller and Max Baker Heitch. And we did a 3-hour-plus podcast on the evidence for the resurrection. And it was a super in-depth podcast. Like, it was, I've even had people reach out to me and say this was like the best thing that they've heard on the evidence for the resurrection, just because it was so detailed. Some of the stuff you hear is like, if you hear a lecture from Gary Habermas online or someone else, they can really only give you like a really overview of what the argument looks like. But in this podcast, because we just like took as long as we wanted, basically, it ended up being so detailed and so, it was just so, so good. And these 2 guys are so brilliant. And so that's one of my favorite videos, 3.5 hours of content on that one. The next one is a video that I already mentioned, Craig versus Oppie. That's going to give you a sense of William Lane Craig, like, it amazes me to think about just how brilliant this guy is. If you've ever watched any of his debates, or if you follow along his work or his podcast, Reasonable Faith, you already know that he's a very, very intelligent guy, really, really smart. But you probably only see like the basically just the surface, like the tip of the iceberg of how deep and intellectual he actually is. And what the reason why I like this discussion so much is because it just shows you he can hang with anybody, with the Graham Oppies, with anybody. And it was so good to have this happen. People have been asking for a conversation between them two for years. And so I'm really, really proud of being part of that. So, and that one's really difficult to follow along. You can still get a lot out of it, I think. But if you want to get a breakdown of what actually happened in that, then we're doing a video on it. It's coming up on July 9th. So, and then the last video I'll mention is the one, Did Abe Lincoln Actually Exist? Did you watch that one?
Yes, I did.
Were you going to mention that one?
I wasn't, but okay. I had actually forgotten about it. it is just fun to watch.
Yeah. So what I did, it's a satirical video, and I invited a friend of mine on. His name is Glenn Peoples. That's his real name. And on the show, he was Dr. Penn Gleeples. And he basically defended A. Lincolnism. And he used a whole bunch of arguments that you find in the literature from mythicists, people who don't think that Jesus existed. And so he basically took their arguments, identical arguments, and applied them to Abraham Lincoln and argued satirically that Abraham Lincoln didn't exist. And it was just hilarious. We even did some Q&A, and the questions that were coming in, it was so difficult not to laugh during that show.
Well, he dressed up, I mean, he had these weird goggles on, you know, and I don't even think you could see out of them. And he just
during the interview, his goggles started to fog up, and I almost lost it. I was like, this is too much.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Yeah.
But that's one of my favorite videos. I mean, it's a way of like exposing how bad these arguments really are, because they can be used to argue that Abraham Lincoln didn't exist.
Yeah.
So it was just a real funny way of making that point. And we did it on April Fool's. So
perfect.
Yeah. So those are the three that I'll mention. But I mean, of course, out of 238 videos, it's really difficult to choose.
Okay. So let me, and I don't know if I can choose, because there is a lot of great content on there. The first thing I want to say though, before I give you kind of my choice, don't let the length of the video discourage you. I know there's lots of people out there who, see that's 2 hours. I can't finish that in one sitting. So I'm not going to bother getting into it. There are most of the time for me, I don't get to sit down for 2 hours and watch one of your videos, or an hour even. What ends up happening for me is, and we were talking about this before we started, it's washing the dishes. Okay. My girls are, it's a wonder that they're not in my house right now distracting me. Okay. My wife took them away, which is amazing of her. So
not that you don't like your daughters.
I love my kids. I love them more than life itself. Okay. But, I want some me time. Well, you don't get, if you're a parent, you get it. You don't get me time until the kids are in bed. Okay. And then they even can wake up, you know, and so I typically every night, the deal is my wife makes an amazing meal, and I try to help when I can, but she is just amazing cook. And, I do the dishes, and I love it because it's kind of selfish reasons, because I can set up my phone right above the sink, put on I was doing it yesterday, your Q&A time with William Lane Craig. And you're right. The guy is unreal. He just is. And the way he was responding to these challenges, and I knew I couldn't get through it. It was 90 minutes or something. And I ended up, you know, getting through 20 or 25. So I'm dragging the dishes out. I'm like making sure they're spotless, you know, that kind of thing.
This is weird. So I kind of do something similar. Well, I have like a waterproof speaker that I put in my shower so that I could start to like listen to stuff in the shower, and like when I'm getting ready and stuff, just like put it in the bathroom and then just like let it go. So there's ways of finding it. Another thing that I did, because I commuted every day for like, I think it was like 20 miles one way. And so it was about an hour drive. I was stuck in the car 2 hours every day on my commute to work. And during that time is when I listened to stuff. I should also mention that we just started converting a lot of our YouTube videos into podcast format. So we have a podcast, and some of the podcast episodes actually aren't on the YouTube channel, which some people don't know about. But we are in the process of like taking some of these longer form videos and just pasting them over to the podcast. I have a buddy of mine that's helping me out with that. Not to get ahead of ourselves, but I think it's important to mention that at some point.
Yeah. So, absolutely. And our audience, I mean, they're used to listening to, you know, there was a time when Greg was doing 3 hours, you know, a week, you know, straight.
And when you like it, like you can't get enough of it.
That's right. And if you're in LA, you know, you know the commute, so you can devour this stuff.
Yeah. Now, my YouTube channel was, I gear it toward people like me who really wanted to go like the next step, like I'm thinking about like the videos that I would watch on YouTube and how they would just like, they would end and I'd be like, okay, that answered like some of the questions that I had, some of the things, but I just want like, I want something deeper, something I can really, really sink my teeth into that like, give me like the latest updates in like the academic literature of like, what are these philosophers talking about today? Because if you don't know anything about academia or like what philosophers actually do, they don't just sit around like in their office smoking cigars or like sipping tea or whiskey or whatever. They're like writing papers, submitting them to journals, and they're getting peer reviewed. People read them and they get published in these really specific journals, and they're really highfalutin and stuff. But there's a lot of things that are going on in academia that we normal people have no clue about at all.
Yeah.
Like we don't know that these new arguments are being developed from Josh Rasmussen. Yeah. We don't know that all of these other really cool things are happening and responses to the problem of evil, like this very, very new response that just came out that people don't really know about because it was just published like 2 months ago in a journal by some really, really smart kid who's getting his PhD. And you don't know that this stuff exists. And so that's part of the reason why my ministry exists is to expose all of that. And I love it. I can't get enough of it.
So, one of the guys you had on, it was a Q&A time, two scientists, and it caused me to buy, I'm going to hold the book up for you. Our audience can't see it. The book is called God, Stephen Hawking and the Multiverse. And I'm just telling you, you have to go to Amazon right now and buy this book, God, Stephen Hawking, and the Multiverse. It's written, and William Lane Craig on the cover, an astonishingly good read. David Hutchings and David Wilkinson. And I had never heard of these guys before. And so I'm interested in science. So I see this video, I'll turn it on, I start watching, and I could not believe how incredible these two communicators were. In particular, David Hutchings, who is a high school science teacher. Okay. Yeah. He had me when you guys are doing your Q&A and he pulls out a piece of paper and he starts drawing, you know, a star death, and then he draws how the, you know, the beginning of the universe or whatever on it. And I thought, this guy's the real, I got to read his book.
Dude, you gotta wait because he's coming back on to explain what happened between Craig and Oppie on mathematics. So he went into his office and he filmed an experiment that he did, and I'm going to play it. And it's like, it's going to show the relationship of math in like reality and how it all is just super weird. And he like, it's just like his little paper where he explained it. It's like, it's amazing. It's going to be amazing.
This is the guy who, parents, this is the guy you want teaching your high schooler, okay, science. And man, I have just been enjoying this book so much, talking about concepts that are hard to get your mind around. He's talking about, you know, quantum mechanics and general relativity and, you know, just this
Newtonian
search for
mechanics.
That's right. A search for, and he's going through the history. That's the one thing I really loved about this book, and recommend it. If you have a high schooler, they're taking science, they should read God, Stephen Hawking, and the Multiverse. It goes through the history, you know, where, how science has progressed and who these scientists were, many of them believers in God, and their contribution to modern science, and how this all leads up to the man Stephen Hawking, and why what he wrote was so important, and the the big God questions that end up coming out of all this thing. Mm-hmm. And so if you're, I just got to tell you, this is one of my new favorite books on science and faith.
Did you ever tell me what your favorite videos were?
So, this is, I didn't write them down. I'm trying to think now.
You made me really curious.
and now I'm trying to, because I didn't write them down, but there was one with Mike Lacona and Gary Habermas. Mm-hmm. They did a joint effort. I haven't seen the resurrection one that you referenced, so I'll have to check that out. But there was that one. Pretty much anything with William Lane Craig.
Oh yeah,
you know there are. This is what's really great about this too, is even if you may not agree with the Christian that is on, like, so for example, I'm not a theistic evolutionist, but mm-hmm. I'm very interested in their arguments. And you had almost immediately, you know, the book comes out, The Genealogical Adam with, help me out.
Joshua Swamidas.
Yeah, Swamidas. And I thought, you know what, I'm reading the book. And at the time, and I want to hear from him. And he's just so articulate, just a great Christian communicator. Mm-hmm. And having William Lane Craig there too, and the two of them kind of going back and forth, it was just enjoyable to see brothers in Christ kind of make their case and try to understand where they're coming from. And I just think that's so needed right now. And the guys that you're bringing on, even though you may have different views, you know, it's not like they're going to blows, right? It's always friendly. Mm-hmm. Even when you're having the atheist and the Christian on, most of the time it's pretty cordial. And so, you know, I really enjoyed watching Alex O'Connor, Cosmic Skeptic, debate Michael Jones, Inspiring Philosophy, on suffering and evil, and how can there be a good God, all loving God? And a number of things came out of that discussion that were very, very helpful. And as Alex is giving his arguments, well, what about freedom in heaven? You know, couldn't God have just made this world like heaven? Like, what's wrong with that? Mm-hmm. And thinking through my own response, you know, and this is again going back to the idea of sharpening yourself, stretching yourself.
Yeah, like,
you're hearing a view that you otherwise maybe would have never heard. And so I'm just telling you, this is why we're excited about recommending this. I sharpen my own tool set every time I watch one of these videos. There's so much I want to get through, and we got about 5 minutes. Here's another video. And I'm not tooting your own horn here, but I just watched your opening statement. Mm. The Kalam argument, which kind of was your own formulation, it seemed to me. Mm-hmm. And you did such a great job just breaking it down. Again, shorter video, under 30 minutes. And it's kind of your opening statement. It's kind of an interesting way to do a debate. And when you brought up the Grim Reaper paradox, or the Grim Reaper argument, and I got to ask you, William Lane Craig obviously knows about the Grim Reaper argument. Mm-hmm. How come he doesn't use it? I mean, when you laid it out with the graphics and everything, I was like, okay, is this like not case closed for finite universe?
It is. It's got to be.
Can you sketch it out in like two minutes?
My gosh.
Is that even possible or no? Or should we just, here's what we're going to do. Let's point people, go watch the video. Amy Hall will put in the description of this podcast, the opening statement.
And the opening statement is written for a lay audience. So I wrote it for anybody can approach that video and understand what's going on. And the way that I approach when I do a video, it's like me talking and I'm going through some kind of subject like that, which I do interviews and I do like debates between atheists and Christians, and sometimes Christians and Christians, but sometimes I'll do my own videos where I'll talk about something in particular. And so I always try to like keep things very systematic, very easy to understand, and the flow of it and how the argument is running premise by premise. And at the end, I'll give like a summary of what was talked about in the video. So I try to be as like as helpful and as clear as possible. I think that that's something I really, really value. And so I want to make sure that that comes out in the videos. With the Grim Reaper paradox, I would 100% recommend that people go watch the video because I spent a lot of time thinking through what's the best way to say this, how can I explain how this argument works, and with I use some visuals so you can kind of see how it all works, and then ask some very some key questions about, like, you know, what's impossible about this scenario, and then kind of point at the fact that, oh, it's because there's this infinite set of Grim Reapers, and that's what we need to get rid of in order to reconcile this contradiction that could exist if an eternal universe exists, basically.
You may need to come on the show when Greg's back and maybe walk through that whole argument, because I'd be very interested to see the two of you talk about the argument.
I would be happy to do that.
As you formulate the argument, which is different from William Lane Craig's, and that particular argument, I remember watching you in a video, and this would have been months ago, and you mentioned the Grim Reaper paradox. You had had someone on to talk about it who wrote a paper, and I had a hard time kind of wrapping my mind around it originally, and then in your video, it just everything kind of clicked. And anyways,
that's
we'll leave it hanging. People will just have to go check this out to know what we're talking about.
Okay.
Because we got a few more minutes. So, what are some of the exciting things happening right now at Capturing Christianity?
So we have a few videos that are coming up, and on July 7th, we have Gary Habermas coming back on for an Ask Me Anything. He'll be answering any question that you have, 90 minutes. We're doing the explanation with Dave Hutchings on the Craig Oppie debate, and then we also have a video with Dr. Craig coming back on to do a response to the quote-unquote best atheist arguments from Ricky Gervais and some other atheists.
You and Dr. Craig are like buddy-buddy right now, aren't you?
We kind of are. I'm not going to lie.
It's amazing. I am jealous. Look, I think that I was going to ask you how our listeners can support what you're doing. And I'm thinking let's go to Capturing Christianity. There's probably a donate button on there. Yeah. Also, but just watching the videos, liking them, sharing them. This is how we get the word out. I have loved this conversation. Okay. And I hope that our listeners have appreciated you taking the time to come on here. If you want to take your study to the next level, and so we're not talking introductory, we're talking intermediate and beyond, you're going to want to check out Capturing Christianity. And so you can do that by going to capturingchristianity.com. Thank you so much. And we'll see you next time.